Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey with you as well on 96.5 The Fan. You can all breathe. You can relax. What do you got? Two games up on Minnesota, two and a half on Seattle.
Yeah.
And they own the tiebreaker over the Detroit Tigers.
Right. So at least finish as good or better than the Tigers,
That's right.
You can avoid the Astros in the first round of the postseason. If the Tigers finish with a better record than the Royals, then it is on to Houston. And I don't know that I want to see the Houston Astros. I'd rather see Baltimore Orioles in the first round of the postseason. But getting in is all that matters, and we'll worry about matchups when we get there. And we'll take care of all that as the days get closer and closer to the postseason. But we got closer. The Royals can clinch as soon as Thursday, which is tomorrow, so they can clinch as soon as tomorrow. I'm more worried about Seattle than I am Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota's along for this world. I mean, you're fighting for a playoff spot, and you got the Miami Marlins, and the manager basically just quit last week, and he's still with the team, and they beat your ass last night. That Minnesota team right now, I think they're as done as dinner, so you can move on from the Twins. The Seattle Mariners are the ones that, you know, are kind of just lurking, but I'm not that concerned about them because the Royals have the ball in their court right now. Score a couple of more runs tonight, and you win another game. And then we're talking about tomorrow, getting ready to clinch tomorrow night. And that's exciting, guys.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, if you want some reference to the last time the Royals lost seven in a row. Last time they lost seven in a row, they won five of their next six.
That's good. Yeah,
so
right.
There's one.
Yep.
And they've got five to go.
That's right. Let's go.
Should win four of the next five, and they should be playoff bound. Somebody asked on the text line earlier, how can they clinch by Thursday? Well, very simple. They have a four-game magic number lead over the Twins. They win today. The Twins lose tonight.
Magic number's two.
Boom. They win Thursday at 12:10. The Twins lose Thursday. Clinch.
Done.
And Friday's going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Mac. For those that don't, Mac will be gone the next 2 days.
Right.
James will be in town. Mac is going to go do something that's going to piss me off, but either way.
How are we supposed to, like if the Royals clinch Thursday, that's bigger than Red Friday going into a Chargers
game.
That's
crazy.
I mean, it really is. Like, I mean, when you think about it.
Purple Friday?
I was thinking about that driving in today. If the Royals clinch Thursday night, we're all supposed to wear red on Friday because it's Red Friday. So do you wear like a Chiefs hoodie and a Royals cap? Or are you wearing a Royals hoodie and a Chiefs cap? Like, how are you going to combine your outfits, if you will, for Red Friday if the Royals take care of business? And that's all that has to happen. They have to sweep the Nationals, and the Twins have to get swept by the Marlins. And so far, we're off to a pretty good start on that. So let's hope this thing does get clinched by Thursday. Let's hope we're talking about a magic number of two at this time tomorrow, or, you know, in 14 hours or so from now, we're talking about a magic number for two. The Minnesota Twins, man, what a disgrace. Their fans should be disgusted by them. They're awful. You're losing to the Marlins. What kind of low-rent organization loses to the Marlins with six games to go in the postseason race? Like, that's embarrassing for the Twins. They should cancel the rest of the season.
Okay. All right.
Lifeless organization.
Well, at least they're not toothless and winless.
Yeah, what is it? Toothless and... Yeah, they still are in Cincinnati, right? Yeah.
Todd McShay. Kind of a bag.
This is a low blow, I think.
Yeah, so
this is personal.
This is where now I think, and I didn't think that we would get, I should have known, but personal life and taking all right, here you go.
So I don't understand this.
Uh-oh.
And maybe it's a political thing. Maybe it's like the NFL, and maybe I'm going to wind up getting a phone call from the league offices.
They
maybe
don't know
it's
who
Taylor
you are,
Swift.
Sir.
I don't know. But like when you're staring at something so obvious, why, like Chris Collinsworth is honest to God, my favorite analyst out there to watch. Most respected analyst, I think, in football for anyone who has half a brain.
Wow.
And for like
Tom Brady,
every show I watch, every pregame show, halftime show, postgame show, weekday show, every broadcast I watch for the last few weeks, it's like, are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape? That he's been partying all offseason, he's been jet setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world, that he's drinking on, you know, going to the U.S. Open, and he's got cocktails in it. Like,
I don't know, but if he, all right, but look,
stop.
Know there's a difference between having a drink at the U.S. Open and then thinking that it's just because of guy. I don't know that.
No, I know that. But right. What I do know is I want you to take a picture from preseason 2022. And then take a picture preseason 2024. They're barely the same human being, Ryan. And everyone's like, We got to get the ball. Why isn't he part of the offense? The defense is double. Yeah, the coverage is this. Here's the thing. Bottom line with Kelce. The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it. And he still finds a way to make a play or two here and there and shows up in some clutch moments. But he's not the same guy right now. Look at him. Just look at his face.
I'm looking at his face right now, and I've got a 22 pickup, and I've got a 24 pickup. I don't know. I mean, every picture's different. I remember Derek Jeter showed up one year. It looked like he weighed 275 pounds. It was just a bad angle.
I'm just saying.
I had a show in Utah.
There's no debating that his body type is different. He's not in the same shape. He's not the same. Like, I don't see the same explosiveness. I see him wearing down a little bit in games. It's okay. He'll work himself back into shape. It's not the first guy ever who's not, like, quite in the elite shape that he was. And now, like, you're sitting here and you're defending him too. Is there some kind of, like, message I'm not getting from the league that you're not allowed to say he's not in the same shape, he's not able to produce at the highest level right now, and he'll probably work himself back into shape by week 8, 9, 10 this season? Are we not allowed to say that?
Look, it's not. You can say that.
So we're fat shaming Travis Kelce. That's what McShay's doing.
It's a little bit of that. But what I'm more concerned with is that you're accusing him of drinking all off season long. Like that. That's where I have a problem with it. Like you can say, yeah, Travis Kelce's 35 years old. He's 35 years old. We all get old. I'm sure if you compared most people to where they were 2 years ago to where they are now, it's probably not the same. People age, right? People get older. In sports, people get old. It happens overnight. Nobody ever wants to admit that. Is that what's going on with Travis Kelce? I don't know if that's what's going on with Travis Kelce, but I know Father Time is undefeated. But it doesn't mean that you get on there for 2 minutes and 42 seconds and basically slander Travis Kelce with information that you don't have because you saw a guy enjoying himself at the U.S. Open. You sound like a Neanderthal caveman, Todd McShay, and you should probably go back to your cave and look at your own playbook because that's exactly what you sounded like there. Like, you sound like get in your playbook guy. Like this guy's not allowed to have a life outside of football. A lot of it reeks of jealousy to me as well from Todd McShay. You're jealous that Travis Kelce does life better than you. And quite honestly, Travis Kelce pretty much does life better than all of us. But Todd McShay right there, that sounded like a guy who was jealous. Maybe got burned by Travis Kelce for an interview that he wanted, or maybe Todd McShay during the draft stuff came out and said Kelce wasn't going to be any good, and now he's mad and he wants to be the I told you so guy. But this guy's got a decade career, and he's doing life better than you, Todd. And to take those personal shots at Travis Kelce, I just find to be a very low blow and sit there and say, because he was partying at the U.S. Open, he doesn't care about himself and doesn't care about playing the game. I challenge you to get your ass here to Kansas City and say it to Travis Kelce's face and see what happens.
I just don't understand that this is where we're at. I mean, it looked to me, it's lazy research, you know, no sort of, you know, videotape, which I know McShay has nothing better to do than to probably sit there and watch the All 22 and maybe see the coverage of Kelce, or maybe see like how he's running his routes or what he's doing. And in fact, he's just looking at his gut and saying, yeah, he's not what he was 2 years ago. I'm not what I was 2 years ago. Todd McShay, you're not who you were 2 years
right.
ago. The fact is, we can all agree that Kelce's had a slow start, a historical slow start to his career. No shame in me admitting that. My only thing that I'm saying is that the guy is older. The league is probably finally tired and sick to their stomach of letting Patrick Mahomes pick apart defenses with 87. And the other thing is, they haven't needed him.
They haven't.
He has, what, 6 catches for 69 yards,
nice.
0 touchdowns, but they're 3-0, and Rushy Rice is the number 2 wide receiver in the NFL right now, according to yards, and number 1 according to yards after catch.
Yeah.
Sorry. Todd McShay, look, man, I don't care if you want to go into the analytics of things or you want to look at a statistical thing, but if your take and lazy take that it is the fact that he's hanging out with his girlfriend and having drinks at the U.S. Open and doing all of that sort of thing. Patrick Mahomes having drinks at the U.S. Open.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes hasn't looked great in his first 3 games. Why are you not shaming him?
Right, exactly.
It seems like
Patrick has adopted the dad bod thing, right? Yeah. He's talked about that. Like, where's your stuff about Patrick or anybody, right? Like,
and I think McShay's just jealous because when he was the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders, Travis Kelce had four catches.
Oh, he
for
wasn't
four
the
touchdowns.
GM. It was Mayock was the Mayock, GM. Yeah, McShay not good enough to be the general manager of any team, right? He's not even good enough to work at ESPN anymore.
But that's the thing is, I just don't understand the fact that like that's where you're going. And I understand that there are some individuals in this world of sports that will say egregious things to get egregious posts and reclicks and retweets and all that sort of thing. But the fact that like this is where you're at, this is the research you've done, this is the homework that you put together and put the final paper together and said, yep, I'm going to turn this in and think it's official.
Right.
It's just a dumb take.
It really is.
It's a bad take. You're coming after an athlete who's 35 now, who's a three-time Super Bowl champion, who's the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL. And the reason you don't like them is because you have some sort of vendetta against him, which whether it be he's dating the girl of your dreams, he's done things that you could only envision or imagine, and now you're putting up pictures of his 22 body into his 2024 body, and you're comparing the two.
And I really like Ryan Russillo giving a lot of pushback to as well. Like, wait, hang on a second here. What are you talking about? Like, come on, man. You can't be saying this kind of stuff. It sounded like a petty high school kid who had his girlfriend stolen, basically, is what that is. And with research like that Todd McShay did about why Travis Kelce is not playing well this year, that tells me why ESPN kept Mel Kiper and not him, because clearly Todd McShay does not put in the work. He's just throwing out flaming hot takes to try to get those clicks and to try to be relevant again. And we played it because it is such a slanderous comment against Travis Kelce. And I think it's going to be a comment that they do take personal, Dusty. Like, this is going to be that one where Travis Kelce's like, all right, McShay, you want to say this kind of stuff about me and the league thinks this about me? I'm on the big stage in LA this weekend. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to play my ass off and I'm going to show everybody that, you know what, Travis Kelce is still a force to be reckoned with in this league. And then what's the narrative going to be on Monday morning when Travis Kelce goes out there for $118 and a couple of touchdowns and destroys the competition? Like, to me, what Todd McShay said right there is absolute garbage. And if I was Travis Kelce, I'd punch McShay in the nose for that, because that's just taking a shot at my character. And I don't think there's any reason for that.
I'm interested to see how the New Heights podcast goes today.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if he's heard it yet or if he'll react to it, but if I'm
if I did my job yesterday, he got it. Okay, I'll just tell you that right now. He got it yesterday.
If I'm Jason, who also has a lot more time on his hands, I'm letting Travis hear that and be like, we have to talk about this on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like Jason has to bring that up, right? Yeah. And like, you bring it up in a joking manner too. Like, what'd you do to Todd McShay, man?
Or I'd say like, what's the matter, Trav? You get fat?
Hey, McShay says you're fat, man, and you're just hanging out at the U.S. Open having drinks with your girlfriend.
Yeah, too many ding-dongs, too many drinks.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
He's had girlfriends his whole career, and he's enjoyed an adult beverage and partying his whole career.
It just sounds like a jealous individual who is pissed that Travis lives life better than he does. That's what it came out to me. I'm like, oh my God, you are a loser, Todd McShay.
Loser. Oh boy. Yeah. I don't know. Take the high route. And then when you score a touchdown, lift up your shirt.
It's not that's what you got to do, right? How about this gut?
It's not like he's Zeke Elliott.
Eddie Lacy.
That's the other thing. Like, or Pablo Sandoval.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he went and put on, an extra person.
I mean, Travis, I personally think Travis looks great. He's just getting double teamed, triple teamed, and Rashee Rice has stepped up. I mean, Mark Collins, former defensive back, sat in here on Friday, they don't need him, and they don't. They're 3-0, and he's had no production. And they're sitting at 3-0 and beat three pretty good teams to start the season.
Maybe now he's finally just becoming a more blocking tight end.
Oh, yeah, that'll make people happy, right? Yeah,
that's what they wanted.
Yeah, that's exactly what they wanted. Yeah, that's why George Kittle was always better, because he blocked better and then went out into the Super Bowl and had 2 yards receiving or whatever it was. Yeah. So, yeah, how about those blocks?
Good.
Yeah. It's wild, man. Like, it's wild the way that people are trying to run down these guys right now and to try to make it look like they're doing the wrong thing because they've dominated the league for so long. Some people hate domination. I love utter domination, especially when it's our team. And that's what the Chiefs are doing. They're dominating the NFL. I saw a clip from somebody else yesterday on ESPN who just kind of put his hands up in the air and was like, we got to stop talking about competitors to the Chiefs because there are none. And I think it's gotten to that point now where people are so upset that nobody can knock off this team. We're blaming Travis Kelce having fun at the U.S. Open. We're blaming officials. We're blaming rules. Like, all of this stuff that people have tried to put in place to stop the Kansas City Chiefs just isn't working. We've had rules changes. We've had officials being blamed in all three games for the Chiefs and all this kind of stuff. People are at that point where they just don't have an answer for the greatness and the success that is the Kansas City Chiefs. So now they're just throwing, you know, wet noodles at a wall and hoping something sticks. Because that's what it sounds like to me. Like, everybody's to that point around the league going, oh my God, no matter what happens, this team finds a way to win football games. So let's tell everybody that Travis Kelce had too much fun this offseason. Let's change some rules and let's blame the refs. I mean, that's where we are with this team.
Speaking of where we are with this team, Patrick Mahomes kind of has a red curtain on the offensive line, which is something that you love to see because of how good he can be with time. I know the numbers will eventually get better for one Patrick Mahomes, but a stat that came out from the All 33 or whatever that's called. I forget what it's called.
33rd team.
High or lowest pressure rates allowed by an offensive line. The Chiefs currently sit at fifth at 26%.
That's good.
Better than I thought.
Yeah.
Right. Mahomes has been sacked 3.5 times this year.
That's once a game.
Yeah, he just had a clean slate in week three, was sacked twice by Hendrickson in week two, and then there was 1.5 from the Ravens in week one. But you look at the teams above them, the Cowboys, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Ravens. Cowboys are like 25.9, so really they're top three because the Jets are 25%. So really, right. Like, they're a top three offensive line when it comes to pressure rates, which is a beautiful thing because of those people that are worried about Patrick Mahomes' gameplay so far, 5 touchdowns, 4 picks, but still second favorite odds to win the MVP because we know that it will all start to click soon.
It'll all even out.
And you keep his pressure rate low and you let him work on himself and give Travis Kelce some anger. Boys, I'm not saying it's going to happen because I haven't seen it yet. But there's an explosion in this offense upcoming because the numbers are too good and too ripe to prove that they're not.
Yep.
I look at it as like the grand finale in a fireworks show. Like, yeah, the first couple shoot-offs they're pretty cool. But then you start to notice that the finale's coming. You're like, oh.
Okay. I like grand finales.
And maybe week four is the week that they open up the sleeping giant.
Well, I thought it was going to be the Raiders, but I think you're right about that, Dusty. I think this is the week.
Because now, from what I'm seeing from Schefter and from other sources, is that Justin Herbert's going to do whatever he can to play.
Okay.
Without a left tackle, without a right tackle.
That's smart.
Right? Bosa's probably not going to play, so there's going to be a little bit more, less pressure to worry about for the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Bosa's not playing. I'm stunned. I mean, Bosa's never get injured.
Right.
Picture of health.
And you think about, you know, what the Chiefs do, and I know the Chiefs can be petty. It's fun. It's a good trait to have when it comes to the NFL because of how many people like to take unnecessary, you know, digs at you.
Yeah.
But again, your offensive line has been fantastic. Maybe not fantastic. Left tackle looked better last week, but it was Wanya Morris' first, like, you know, real good game, and we'll see where it grows after that.
Yep.
But inside, the middle's been good. The way that they can run the ball with Carson Steele or Isaiah Pacheco has been great. And the minute that they start getting on the same page of the regular season, which maybe it's week four, and they start to get in that groove, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Chargers, you know, 38-3, but it feels like with everything that's coming and that everything that's been, you know, it's almost to the point where they're like, enough is enough and it's time for a change.
It is. And I think once they realize that and once they look in the mirror and say it's time for a change, they're a team that can actually go out there and execute a change. They're a team that can go out there and pretty much do what they want with the football. And for a couple of weeks, you kind of played around or you just played good opponents, right? Like, Baltimore's going to be a good football team. They're always good defensively, right? They're going to be a good team. It's going to be a tough game. They were fired up. It was opening night. They're, you know, a team that just got beat in the AFC championship game. They want revenge. They're playing with a little extra. Then in week two, you get your nemesis, the Cincinnati Bengals, right? They've got something to prove. They just lost to the New England Patriots. They're playing the Chiefs. They hate the Chiefs. They want to be the Chiefs. They come in here and play a good game. And then you got Atlanta on Sunday night, which is another team that is expected to be pretty good. They added the quarterback. They got a national stage. They got an opportunity to do something good. They played the Chiefs to a close ball game as well because they're a good football team. The Chiefs have started off the season with three really good teams. They didn't start off with New England. They didn't start off with the Giants. They didn't start off with the Browns. They started off with three of the better teams in the NFL. and went 3-0 during that stretch. That was a great three-game start to the season, and it's only going to get better from here. And I'm kind of with you. I think this may be the weekend against the Los Angeles Chargers where they just say, unleash the hounds, and let's go attack these guys, because enough is enough of the national media. And I think Todd McShay is going to be the guy that puts them over the top. And when we look back at the turning point, if you will, of the season, we're going to come back to these Todd McShay comments on Travis Kelce and go, that's what truly lit the fire under everybody in this organization.
Because really the conversation the NFL should have as a conglomerate of media, not just us, as we've told you this already, is that the scariest thing in the world should not be if Travis Kelce is out of shape or worried about his post-NFL career. The conversation not should be, has Mahomes come down to earth with 5 touchdowns, 4 picks? The conversation ought to be that if those are your conversations, you ought to be scared as hell that they're 3-0 and they've beaten Cincinnati, Baltimore, right, Atlanta on the road.
That's exactly right.
That ought to be your conversation.
Yeah.
Because if they go to 4-0 and they've beaten their number one contender in their own division on the road, and they've beaten the number two contender in the AFC at home, Baltimore. I think Cincinnati's done.
Mm-hmm.
The two top teams in the
NFL. But when you play them, they were still a contender.
Right. Yeah. The two top teams in the AFC are the Chiefs and Buffalo, and I think that's a clear-cut picture. Right? I think that's what it is. Buffalo is damn good, and the Chiefs are 3-0, and yet the only thing that you want to worry about is weight, partying, and if the best quarterback in the football world is still the best quarterback in the football world, yet they're 3-0, and you want to have conversations about weight, girlfriends, and footwork.
Yeah, and U.S. Open partying and things of that nature. Yeah. Come on now. That's just ridiculous. That tells you that nobody has an answer for this team, and everybody's frustrated, and it's just going to fire this organization up even more. I'm excited to watch Sunday now. Let's go. Let's go, man. Game over. Let's do this.